We are counting down one more episode until the finale. It's The Real Housewives of New Jersey, Season 8. Here we go. AfterBuzz TV starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, we are on 1,000 in here because it is a new year and we are back with the Real Housewives of New Jersey Season 8. It's your boy DJ Richie Sky. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky and watch me on Stripped on Bravo on Tuesday nights at 10.
Hey, AfterBuzzers, it's your boy Russell Ray here. Happy New Year. Of all you set your resolutions. You know, like they say, New Year, new. I'm still the same. I haven't changed. I have not changed a bit. I'm going to give you the realest housewife madness that I can this season.
Okay. That's what I like.
2018
to hear.
Has not changed, Justin. We ain't going nowhere.
Ooh, y'all heard that. Well, with that being said, let's step right on in, okay? So, we return back from our break. You know, I know you guys missed us because we missed you. So, let's start this right off. Melissa is back at Envy. They are back from Milan. And, you know, Joe stops by. And, you know, one of the things that I noticed is that Melissa, she went on this, you know, European Milan trip to find goods for Envy. I just want to repeat that. She went to Milan to find goods for Envy. She returned with one item. Okay? She just returned with one item. And this was some sort of purse slash book bag slash fanny pack.
I think she's switching over to the men's side. She's trying to attract the men's for a man bag.
So, I don't know what was going on. I really don't. And she was just ranting and raving about how no one else in Jersey will have that. Really, girl? Okay.
Did you like it, though?
I barely looked at it because I was looking for her to pull out something else out of the box. It was one item. It was literally the one item.
Let's be a little considerate. Maybe there's a delay. Maybe, you know, maybe she ordered some things that take a little bit of time to process.
I would have faked that. We would have pulled out. It would have been boxes upon boxes of just plain empty boxes.
Here's the thing. What I would have done in her situation is I would have bought all the dresses or camisoles or whatever she wanted to buy and put them in a luggage bag and use that as my carry-on and have my other bag underneath the plane and dropped in baggage claim.
You know, my thing is this. Okay, as a business owner from a business perspective, if I were to have, you know, a store such as Envy, so if you want to call me for a consultation, girl, I'll take you on. But I would have either had some photos done of the items that she really liked, or I would have bought one piece of each item that she liked, right? Yeah. Because I know she got it. So then I would have brought those pieces back. Mm-hmm. Then I would have done some sort of pre-launch for a new collection. And then I would have put that online. Put it on Instagram or something like that. And see if you get the reaction that you want from your customers.
Yes.
And then if they like those items, then you go back and purchase more. If you want more advice like this, go purchase the Nasty Gal book. I'm serious. It really is a great book. I mean, I'm not even trying to plug that, but it just made more sense to me than pulling out this one little book bag from this box.
Yeah.
I was mad. Anyway.
And if it didn't work, go ahead and send it over to Posh. Because no one likes that store anyways.
Or wear it, girl. Wear it. Come on now.
If it looks good on you,
right?
Keep it.
Those are your confessional looks for the next season.
Motto of 2018. If it looks good on you, keep it. Don't give it away.
Boom. Okay. Anyway, she wants to back off from the restaurant because really she ain't got no interest in it because I don't feel like she does anyway. But I don't really think that's that bad. I mean, I feel like he really didn't seem that supportive of her getting Envy in the first place. So, You know, why is it that now all of a sudden you need all of her help when you didn't need her help to decide whether or not you were going to get the restaurant in the first place?
Yeah.
I mean, is it just me?
No. I don't know. I feel you on that, but
he's a baby to me. Sometimes he's a big baby. I like him, though. I like him.
I'm here for Joe. When it comes down to the whole...
Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Restaurant thing, I think he didn't realize he bit off more than he can chew.
No.
So dramatic. So if you want this and you want your wife to be part of it, you have to have the conversation before you purchase it, number one. Okay. Number two, you need to let her know what her part in this restaurant would be. I want you to be exactly in control of all the decor, all the dishes, the lighting on the tables, whatever it may be. That's her role, and right, she can stay in that lane. If his role is the food mm-hmm. and the pizza, that's where he needs to be. If Teresa's doing all the marketing and the photos, that's her role, and that needs to stay their role.
See, that to me seems like a well-thought-out plan.
Yes.
And it doesn't sound to me like he really had a plan.
Yes.
I think he had great intentions, but he needed to figure out how to execute it better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So regardless, he throws a tantrum, he leaves.
And his father, by the way, needs to be the taster. He needs to be the Emeril Lagasse, the Wolfgang Puck. He needs to walk around and taste those plates before they go out.
And you know, whatever happened to hiring, you know, a restaurant consultant? I don't know. They have those.
That's right? Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, with Instagram and Twitter, you can just do it all.
And with Facebook. YouTube. You can do everything with YouTube. Listen. Learning lots of things on YouTube right now. Anyway, we get back. Speaking of work, Marge is back in the office. And I am fascinated by Marge's business and whatever those girls do in that back room office of hers. But I love it. They seem to be so productive. They're working with Walmart and things. I was like, what are y'all doing?
I heard that.
Walmart is big. She got something good going on. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't know what it is. I need to do more research because I'm like, they were talking about displays and such. Do y'all know? If anybody knows, let us know, because I don't really know.
About what?
You ask. I feel like you got a personal relationship with Marge at this point.
Let's find out, Marge.
Okay. Tweet her.
Now tweeting live Marge.
Okay. While he's doing that,
we'll have some news for you later.
He's going to get the tea. And so she has a little recap about the Milan trip with the girls in the office. And they begin to discuss the birthday gala. She just wants to move on from all of the Milan drama. She wants to get back to normal, back to business, really discuss what's going to go down for this birthday gala. And, you know, she's invited Siggy and everything is, you know, seems to be good. But before all of this happens, she tells Joe, quote, Joe needs to clean up the shit because the backyard is covered with all of his stuff. Listen, I don't know about the whole contracting world. I really don't. Well, my grandfather was a contractor, so let me take that back. And when I would go over to my grandparents' house, I never saw wheelbarrows and lawn equipment all strewn across the lawn. I never saw that.
Mm-mm.
So why do I see that at her house?
My in-laws are contractors, and their house is pristine. There's exactly nothing out of place. Yeah.
Like, is he doing his job? I feel like she is working to try to get him some work from this show. And every time you turn around, he just looks sloppy. Right?
You know what?
I can't help you.
I seen the cans and everything, and I can relate to Margaret because I'm cleaning up my father's mess now that he has around the house because we're trying to get it ready and everything. But come on, my dude. Like, this is bad.
Y'all saw that.
This is really bad.
I feel
like there was just extra moss on the steps that didn't need to be there. He should be the man, have a pressure washer, be out there doing his things with his guns, like, psh.
And to be very honest with you, I thought I remember her saying that all of this needs to be taken care of by the time she got back from Milan. And nothing was done. I feel like what needs to happen is those girls in the back office, they need to take control of the household because they get stuff done.
Yes. Now, hire a clean crew.
Boom. There you go. The birthday party is going to be a Studio 54 theme. She likes Studio 54. I was trying to write down why, but I couldn't get it all down, but that's what she likes. So that's what they're going to have. And we can expect that next week on the finale. So get excited about that. I love a birthday party with a theme. Now, we move on to Teresa. And she is basically shooting the cover for her new book. I think it's Standing Strong. And just like the book's title suggests, she is doing yoga poses. A tree pose, to be precise. You know, Siggy comes along to, you know, offer moral support. And at this moment, I'm really liking Siggy because it seems like she has a pretty good attitude about moving on from the situation with Margaret. So I was like, okay, she's putting on, there it is, Standing Strong. That's the name of the book. And she is in, is that a tree pose? I don't know. It looks like a tree.
That's a tree pose.
Okay, yeah, there you go. She's in the tree pose.
Because she's in the namaste, everybody just better get the hell out of her way.
Exactly. Namaste, bitches. Namaste.
Namaste.
So, side note, Teresa has a banging body. Shout out to you and whatever trainer you're using.
And those triceps.
Okay, I'm like,
come through with the triceps.
I was like, let me put down this pizza and get back into the gym tonight. Okay. So we learned that Teresa's going to go visit Joe, and she wants him to take responsibility for all of their financial woes and sending them both to prison.
Mm-hmm.
I think that about sums it up. I wanted to put it more gently, but I couldn't.
How do you feel about that?
Well, to a certain degree, I really feel like from the way I was described, everything that happened and when I was reading on it as they were going through the whole court process, it seemed as though he had control of the business and financial affairs. Mm-hmm. That was his role in the house. And it seemed like she was more of the homemaker and mm-hmm. the caretaker for the kids. So, yeah, I mean, if those things were happening and she's just going along with her husband,
mm-hmm.
then I do feel like he should take responsibility because it sounds like he's never apologized to her for her having to go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, listen, I'm going to need an apology. Like, I'm going to need something special, you know, when I get out. God forbid, I don't ever want to go. But I'm just saying.
Don't use none of the P words.
Because I don't know him. But I'm just saying, what do you think?
It comes down to this, and I'm not ignorant of my spouse's spending habits, nor financial obligations, nor are they ignorant to mine. So there comes a portion in your relationship where you need to be accountable for the fact that you were oblivious to everything that was going on. You should always have some sort of knowledge or insight of what's going on in your businesses, in your homestead, where your cash flow is going, where your savings is at. If you're just home and you're ignoring all those things and you're being ignorant to the reality of what's going on around you, then you probably aren't in the best of relationships, or you aren't contributing your portion. You shouldn't just be spending. You need to know all the financial aspects, especially after 2009.
Well, okay, I agree with you to a certain extent. Okay, so think about, this is how I'm thinking about it, right? If I have a business partner, because that's essentially, to a certain degree, kind of what a marriage is.
Yes.
To a certain extent, right? If I have a business partner and the business partner is in charge of X, mm-hmm. right? Financial affairs, sign and business paperwork and all this. And my partner comes and tells me, this is what we're doing. I just need you to sign right here. And I trust this individual. I can understand how she had that mind frame of being mm-hmm. blindly trusting of the person who is taking care of that responsibility and telling her this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, fudging the truth. Because mm-hmm. I don't feel like he was honest with her.
Mm-mm.
That's what I feel like.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you. That's a hard lesson to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You need to also be accountable for understanding what they're doing. So even now, when they tell you something and you want to read that paperwork and you say, no, that's not what this says.
And if you have the money, have a lawyer sit down with both of you so that it's not right. awkward, you know?
Right. I do agree with that.
Explain the whole thing. Is an apology in order? Yes. Is there a portion where she needs to pull back the reins a little bit and maybe think about the actions that she's had to contribute to this situation? Yes. Should he apologize and go above and beyond because that was his agreement in the relationship? Yes. But we're all adults and you're in your 40s. 10 years ago, you were in your 30s.
You know what's funny, though? I think that, you know, as bad as things, like, every time something really bad happens in life to people, most times they come out of this better, right? Mm-hmm. So we think about everything that people go through, even things that you guys who are watching go through, and you come out of that situation, you learn something. So if you look at her marriage before all of this happened, they were spending frivolously. To me, I feel like he was drinking a lot. He was living recklessly. He was talking reckless to her.
And he got that DUI.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe it took all of this to happen for her to say, I need to take a more active role. Yes. I need to be less dependent on him and understand what it is that I can do. Because through all of this, she's made a career and a name for herself. Mm-hmm. And for him to say, okay, you know what? I need to straighten up. I need to get my life in order. I need to be better for my kids. I need to stop drinking. And I need to live better. Maybe that's what had to happen in order for them to, when he gets out, be in a much better place.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe that's the positive we could take from it, you know?
I'm with you right there. And in addition to that, I feel as if Joe might have been oblivious to everything that was going on, not fully of knowledge of everything, your lawyer should have been held responsible. So
exactly.
You guys need to check up on your lawyers and make sure that they ain't playing you, Teresa and Joe,
but that's,
because
you know,
I'm here for both of you and,
that's,
you know,
a scary thing, right, too, because now you're thinking to yourself, like, you know, even people, I mean, you come out here and you work in entertainment and stuff like that. And so sometimes you depend on these people to manage aspects of your career.
Yes.
Or even if you're not in entertainment, that's just anybody who has a lawyer, an accountant, or, you know, a doctor. You're expecting the expert to give you expert advice.
Yes.
And not to steer you wrong.
Yes.
So now you have to have an expert check up on the expert. That's really the life lesson here.
Yes.
That's crazy. It's really, really crazy.
But I am glad that Teresa has gotten to a good place where she can acknowledge things that she's doing and actually give good advice, which mm-hmm. we saw later on in this episode we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But she is in a wholesome place where she can look at all points or all perspectives and come to a conclusion of her own.
It was interesting because I felt like this episode, a lot of the ladies, except one, really had a lot of growth
mm-hmm.
in their individual stories and with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get to that, especially because I want to talk about Dolores next. They end up taking Frankie on a college tour to Sacred Heart. And, you know, Frankie wants an aggressive finance program. There's one thing I didn't like about this scene, but I'll get to that afterwards. But, you know, Dolores really seems like, you know, she doesn't want to let Frankie go. And, you know, I like this whole moment with him at college. I like seeing them together like that. It was nice.
I do, too. Oh, by the way, it was Dolores' birthday recently, I believe, two, 3 days ago. Happy birthday, Dolores.
Happy birthday, Dolores.
Another year wiser, I hope.
Yes. Oh. She's really won me over as the season has gone on.
Yes.
I wasn't such a fan of her loyalty to Stiggy at first, but she reminds me of what I feel like Housewives used to be when they would first start on the show. Like, just, you know, a really good mom who worked, obviously, but who really just was focused on her kids. And she said that her kids were her entire life.
My favorite portion of this scene was when Frankie said, I'd love for you to surprise visit me. And because you don't, well, I don't know, I haven't heard it very much, but you don't see kids wanting their family around when they're going to
the
college. I didn't.
No.
And I'm guilty of that. I did not want my family around in my college experiences because I wanted to go freaking bonkers and live my life.
Yes.
I wanted to go experience everything that I needed to experience. And I pledged my fraternity. I was up until 3 o'clock in the morning back at, you know, my 6 a.m. job, whatever. But I did it because I wanted to experience those things. And he's, like, so embracing towards his mom.
Yeah.
Which I really liked.
The only thing I didn't really like that much about this scene was when Frank kind of mushed Dolores while they were in the car.
When he bopped her in the head?
Yeah.
I did not like that, Frank. I didn't like that. That's an aggressive approach.
No. You too big to be doing that to people. Like, he is. Like, it's just a lot of person. but back at Marge's, you know, Jan is visiting Jan Joseph's, her ex-husband, You know, he's visiting and she wants to talk to him about, one, who he's inviting to the party for whatever reason. I mean, I don't know if he's dating somebody or not, but why she want to know. But also to really discuss if there is a chance that the kids would ever speak to her again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. Okay, I want to get your thoughts on this and which, how you felt like he received this and handled it. But, you know, he basically told her, you know, I mean, she kind of broke down and cried and, you know, talked about how she wished things were different. But it's interesting. He basically bluntly pointed out to her, you chose a different life. So essentially telling her, this is the bed you made. Mm-hmm. Now you lie have to lie in it.
Yes.
You know, he regrets that things happened the way that they happened, but he is okay with her at this point. Now, how did you feel about his reaction to that conversation?
Because I quoted, you chose a different life. Mm-hmm. After seeing his deflection of wanting to have any part in this, mm-hmm. there comes a point where you have to take a stance as a parent, right?
Right.
So if you decided that you wanted to have a good relationship with Margaret, then that's pretty much calling everything off.
Right.
Like, because if you're good, then you need to take a stance and make sure your kids, like, get it together.
Right, right.
I was able to make this right. We have a great relationship going mm-hmm. on. Number one. Number two, don't attend any of her parties if you're not going to have her back.
This is true.
Whether you're together or not, whether she wronged you or she righted you, at the right. end of the day, you decided to have a cordial relationship with her, and you're showing up to her events.
Right.
So unless you're going to have her back and support her in different elements of her life, then you shouldn't be there because True. You're just doing it for show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when he said yes, 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 blah, 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 he should have took a moment to ask her, where do you want this relationship? Where do you want your relationship at with the kids? Do you want them to spend holidays with you? Do you just want to be able to pick up the phone and call them? I don't know if they have kids, but obviously they do know if they right, have kids. Right. Do you want to be able to see their kids, whether they're not talking to you or not? Because if that's the case, then I will go back. I will tell them what you want. I will tell them I'm over it. So therefore, they can squash any of the mouth feelings that they have towards you. And help them realize that regardless of the situation, you still had a part in their life, help them get to a certain point in their life. And if it wasn't for you, I wasn't able to do it by myself.
Right.
So you were there to support me. Whether our marriage fell apart or whatever happened is none of their business. It's ours as a couple. Because if you're willing to still be there for them, I appreciate it and I will let them know that. Mm-hmm. If you want to see their kids, I am more than willing to come and bring them in my car when I come and visit you on my terms. Which would have been fine.
Yeah, I just felt like he was a little bit kind of cold in regards to how she was coming across in the conversation.
Yeah.
It just made him seem like extra cold because she was so emotional. He was so non-emotional about mm-hmm. it. And then at the end when he said he hoped the conversation made her feel better, I was like, well, I don't feel better. She said no. I don't think anybody felt better.
I was mad at him.
Right. I was like,
I did not want to talk to him.
Like, what? This was pointless. Like, what you gonna do? How are you gonna help her? You're not gonna help her? Okay, cool.
It was. I should have tweeted. Oh, I should, Margaret, I should have tweeted you, but I think out my actions. And we don't do everything that we want to do at the time that we want to do it. But I wanted to tell Margaret to take back his invitation because he don't deserve one after this point.
Ooh, she said.
Thank you.
Yes, studio audience, y'all get into it.
Yes. get in this.
We're gonna I need to know what this tea is that you got later, but we're gonna get to that in a second.
Okay.
You just jump in with that whenever you feel it's appropriate, because I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So Frank and Dolores go take the dog for a walk and basically confirm what I have been suspecting all season long is there are some feelings there. Okay. Like, I know, and based on what Frank has said, and his girlfriend are still on the break. Allie, where you at? That's what I want to know. Where are you at? Because he is getting real close to Dolores. And he is basically telling her he regrets not appreciating her.
Okay.
Now, what is this man's name she's dating again?
David?
Is that his name? Because we ain't seen him since episode one.
There was a photo of him.
There was literally one photo. Listen, I ain't seen this man since the first episode. And I don't know if we actually saw him then. Was it a flashback? I don't know what it was.
It was a flashback photo. But anyway, a little bit of a flashback photo.
He ain't been around. So, and she haven't, apparently she hasn't even been over to his house.
In 4 days.
Four nights.
Okay, here's what it comes down to with Dolores and Frank. Mm-hmm. I am not here for the conversation about your man with your new man, because you should not talk onto one unto the other, because that is just bad in general. There's no reason why Frank should have intel about your relationship and your personal issues with your new man. You sever those things. That's none of his business as your old man, whether you have a good relationship or not. Number one. Number two, I'm all here for them living together and their arrangement, but I am not here. So let me rephrase that. I'm here for them living amongst each other, not living together in the same lifestyle.
Right.
You shouldn't be on parallel terms all the time and walking the same path and walking the same lines. If you need to live together to make it work because you're going through difficult times and you have a great relationship, great. There's no reason why you should be attending all these parties together, why you should be taking walks together, why you should be talking about each other's relationships to each other. No, there's a certain line that you have to draw it, and you do not talk to an old spouse about a new spouse and your problems, because that's going to create problems. Let me tell you, if someone was talking about my relationship, an ex, oh no, I would have came for you. Yes.
And Allie, a couple of words for you. If you have been watching this show and this episode, stay away from this man. He don't want you. That's
Allie,
why y'all be.
If you want to get back at him, go find David.
Oh, you're not going to be able to find David because we can't find him.
Well, he's an OBGYN.
She can't find him.
So you need to go get IN an OBGYN office and have a baby, and maybe he'll be able to see you.
That's right. Get pregnant by Frank. Then you can score David deliver the doctor. Baby. Boom. We have just got it all figured out for you, Allie. Call us. You. Tweet us. Okay,
Call
so
me, beat me.
Oh God, we needed that Kim G thing that they do on Watch What Happens Live.
How are you?
I gotta get that.
Kim G.
So you know, Teresa is now headed over to
Danielle's
house to, you know, go speak with Danielle's daughters. She talks to Melissa on the way over. Melissa kind of gives her a little pep talk, and you know, this whole scene, you know, was very interesting to me because I liked it. I didn't know how I was going to feel about it. Mm-hmm. You know, apparently when Teresa arrives, she discovers that Christine, the older daughter, does not want to speak with her right now, mm-hmm. which I'm like, ooh, that's probably going to happen in season 9. Boom. Watch. It's gotta happen at some point, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it's a loose thread that we still have to tie up, so we can tie that up later when Danielle becomes a full-time cast member.
Because it'll be season 8? It'll be season 10. You want to know why? Because right now Christine is 23. It'll be for her 25th birthday when Danielle invites Teresa to her party.
We shall see.
That's when it'll go down.
We shall
and
see.
And then Christine's going to take Danielle to the side. She's going to yell at her, like, why didn't you invite this lady to my party? I don't even like her. How dare you? You're a terrible mother. You've never been here for me.
Boom.
Just releasing some feelings as Danielle's daughter. I was getting into character.
Okay. Well, speaking of the daughters, I mean, Jillian is such a well-spoken 19-year-old.
She really is.
Like,
she really is.
She calmly explained what she went through as a result of the prostitution whore / table flipping moment. And what is so funny to me is I watched when I first started, this is probably, there's certain shows I didn't watch all of the first season of, mm-hmm. but I watch every other season. I don't know why, but this ending episode was the one episode that I started watching Real Housewives of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting. I did not remember that Danielle's kids were present.
You did?
I did not remember that they were present at that moment.
So Danielle's kids were there prior to the whole table flip because Teresa had her kids and the younger kids removed from the room because she started speaking in Italian and Danielle wanted to know what she was saying. So Manzo, Caroline. Mm. Caroline turned and said, if you want to keep your kids in the room, that's fine. She'd rather have hers over there. So that's when they removed all of Teresa's kids and all the younger ones.
Gotcha.
And then Ashley, the troublemaker, like your mother. Okay, let's just go there real quick. She said, I want to stay here and I want to see this.
Ooh, you better be careful. Ashley's an internet thug.
Ashley needs to get her extensions pulled, okay? Christine, you need to go need to go get Ashley's extensions, okay?
Wild out.
Not that Ashley can afford them. Just saying.
I want to say this though, that whole conversation was, I felt like, very impactful. I thought it was awesome. You know, Teresa apologized, you know, Jillian accepted the apology. You know, it was just such a nice moment because I feel like Teresa showed genuine regret. And I don't think she even realized the magnitude of what that did to either of the girls.
I didn't realize the impact that it had either.
I didn't either.
Until she started explaining.
It was like, wow. I mean, it's easy sometimes to paint Danielle as being the person who is over-dramatizing something.
Mm-hmm.
So to see that this was really, in effect, true,
yeah.
And I don't see Jillian as being the type to be dramatic at all. Like, I see her as a very upfront, truthful girl. Like, it just meant a lot, and I felt like this was a really impactful moment in this episode.
This moment allowed me to take a step back and...
It rewrote Danielle to me.
Yes.
It rewrote her character in this whole franchise to me.
Yes.
It really, really did.
It really... It allowed me to
see, to do that.
Instead of the whole thing as a joke and as a comedy perspective, it allowed me to see it as society saw, or this community saw, her mother as weak.
Mm-hmm.
And no one wants to be seen as a weak mother.
Right.
And that's why they chose to come after Jillian and Christine.
Yeah.
Because they were making fun of the fact that their mother looked weak on camera.
It's and crazy.
That's sad. But I will say, Jillian is very Lohan looking. Like the Lohan girls.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to go back and relook at her.
Lindsay Lohan.
I've wiped my memory clean of Lindsay.
Well, Lindsay done wiped herself of America and she moved over to London. So good for you, Lindsay.
That's fine, girl.
She's suing the Americans.
That's fine. back at the restaurant, Joe Gorga is stressed. Okay, and that's that. And so, Margaret, she's getting ready. She's got her rollers in her... Listen, I have never seen so many rollers in my life. I do not recall a show in which I have seen a woman in rollers more. She has spent half the season in rollers. Next season, she's going to be in her confessional in rollers.
She just needs a moo-moo and some house slippers, and she's good.
I bet she got them. Macbeth collection.
Marge's thug, though. That's why she wears that.
I don't mind.
She can wear that, you know, proud.
So I am in love with Margaret.
Yes.
That's all I really know.
She got the rollers and say like this, come to Big Marge's house. Come have yourself a cocktail.
And speaking of Big Marge.
Thank you, Big Marge.
Margaret is worried that Marge Sr. is going to go gangster on Siggy because, I mean, Marge Sr. is looking for Siggy. Like, I could tell she's already looking. I want to meet this woman.
She really is, but I think it was to read her.
I think it was, too.
Yeah.
I think it's to read her and to kind of, like, you know, see what's going on and see if she can set a boundary. You know
yes,
what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, yes.
But, you know, Margaret threatens to kick her in her cankles if she does anything disrespectful at the table.
Not the cankles. That was funny.
So, Siggy, in damage control mode, goes to talking to her dad, who is a Holocaust historian, and she wants to get his opinion about the entire situation that she had with Margaret and the girls with regards to Margaret, her calling Margaret anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and interestingly enough, I mean, I feel like her dad gave her some sound advice, I mean, mm-hmm. about not letting someone get to you so to the point where you go crazy. And he really told her that it wasn't right to call her anti-Semitic. But he also told Siggy to stay away from Margaret. Which is why I believe what happened next happened. I think she took that advice in a different way. Because they were in a good place, it seemed like, right before that.
They were.
As always, this is the same pattern that has happened time and time again on this season.
But Siggy got in her own head in this conversation, and I'll tell you why. Because when she went to explain the reference from Hitler to Kim D, mm-hmm. she completely took it.
Yeah, she kind of rewrote it.
Exactly, to defend herself mm-hmm. and her own statements
yeah.
to make it seem in her favor. Now, with that being said, I really thought about the whole statement that was made about right. Hitler and about being the person, making him not a good person. So what I got from it, and this is what I wrote this down, what I take from the comment is, Hitler is not a good person, but he has those who he was nice to. Therefore, it does not disregard all the wrong he's doing to others.
Right.
Okay? And then when it came down to the relation to Kim D is she's gone after one set of women, but because she doesn't treat them all the same, regardless of affiliation, doesn't make her a good person as well.
Right.
And the fact that Siggy is a psychiatrist or counselor and she cannot dissect this into that explanation mm-hmm. tells me I ain't gonna go to my insurance and pay no copay to get advice from you about nothing. And that was that moment. Defining okay. moment for me. You cannot favor yourself in a conversation when you're trying to get the truth told to you.
You can't. And you're only directing the person to tell the truth, to tell you the advice that you want to hear. So you're not even really getting any advice. You are yes. you are allowing, you're making someone else enable your actions.
Yes.
You know, and I just feel like, you know, it's like one step forward, three steps back with Siggy every time. And my problem with her is I like her. I really do. I think she's a good addition to the show. I think she could be a good addition to the franchise in general. I think she'll have a memorable place in the franchise.
Yes.
We'll get to whether or not she stays in the franchise later, because word on the curb is she ain't. But I just felt like she gets in her own way. And it's one thing to accept an apology or apologize, but then to just renege on that apology time after time. Every time it's time for an event, you've gone back on that and you say, now I'm mad about it and I'm going to avoid you altogether. That's crazy to me.
Not only doing that, but I looked into research about her father. Uh-huh. And this is not to disregard her father whatsoever, because I don't want to offend anyone.
Okay.
But I did not find an ounce of support stating that he was in a concentration camp. Mm. He was smuggled out of the country
yeah.
by a priest at the age of 3.
Oh, wow.
In 1940, if I'm recalling this back.
That's interesting.
But Siggy needs to have, if she really wants to go there with the situation, she needs to have consideration for those who were in concentration camps starving to death that really did get out. Don't disregard those people and bring yourself to a higher standard.
Yeah.
If that wasn't the case, tell the truth and the whole truth. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't half-ass the curve about it. If it's one thing, call it what it is.
Yeah.
Don't mask it to be something else and then play the victim.
She's done that.
Not disregarding anybody's experiences or anybody's family history, yeah, but she's saying, call it what it is.
She's done that all season. Getting back to the restaurant,
grand opening.
It's finally that time, and you know, Teresa finally arrives and immediately gets to work and asks, "Where's your wife?" to Joe, and you know, he says she's late, and Melissa finally shows up, and at this point in time, Joe chooses to tell Teresa that Melissa has decided to back off from, or doesn't want to participate with the restaurant at all. That's what he said.
Yes.
And Teresa's words to Melissa, why didn't she say that from the beginning? And she did let you guys know she had a problem with this from the beginning, but no one wanted to listen to her.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're all wondering why she doesn't want to have as much of an active part in it. And she reiterated what she actually said, because we saw it on camera, that she just wanted to take a back seat and she did not want to boss him around. And, you know, it was just like silly bickering to me.
It was.
At the end of the day, it was silly bickering because, you know, even as they were bickering, you almost feel like, I mean, this is family bickering and it's not going to really last. You yeah. know what I'm saying? It's nothing major.
It's simple.
Yeah. So, people start arriving. Teresa immediately begins to flirt with Frank and all of his muscles.
And her sexual frustration, Teresa, you cougar, you better.
But we learn, that Dolores doesn't mind sharing, so that's fine. Danielle arrives with Marty, Marge, the Marges arrive. And, you know, Marge Sr. is looking for Siggy. But Siggy arrives with her best friend because Melissa says everybody is Siggy's best friend.
The man at the grocery store, the man over here. This is my best friend. Meet my other best friend. I was here for Melissa. I
live
love the shade.
For Melissa right here. You know, and Siggy spends the entire night like avoiding Marge and Marge Sr.
Yes.
Being blatantly rude. Dolores, finally, I've been waiting for this moment. Admits that Siggy is being rude. Finally, I was waiting for this, and I was like, yes. Right when I was like beginning to say, I'm really digging Dolores now. She just scores major points with me because she's finally calling the bad behavior out. And I think it's high time she did it. So, you know, in a nice moment, aside from that drama, Teresa does offer Melissa to help with Envy, but also wants Melissa to be able to help with the restaurant. Thought it was a great little moment. They were able to kind of see each other's sides and they moved on from that. Right?
Yes.
Right? Thank you, studio audience.
Cuteness.
Thank you. We get some camaraderie here. And, you know, Margaret, Marge Sr. still wants to meet Siggy. And Danielle volunteers to go get her.
Of course.
Of course she does. So she saddles on up to Siggy. And she says, hey, I want to introduce you to Margaret's mother. Now, if I don't care how much beef we have, if I'm in the room with somebody's mom, and I'm going to go meet the mom.
Yeah.
I'm going to just go meet the mom, and I'm going to be as polite as possible. I'm not going to disrespect somebody's mom.
Yes.
To me, that's disrespectful. Because even though you don't know what she's going to say, I'm still going to go.
Well, not only that, but if
we're in the same room.
If an older person says something that's out of context, you just look at them like, now I know where your foolish daughter got it from. You
right.
know what I mean?
And you just excuse yourself.
Yes.
Just go say hi and bye. You know, I've always taught that it does not hurt to say hello.
Yes.
And Danielle immediately runs back and tells the group what she said, and they're all aghast, as they should be, because, I mean, her behavior is rude. And I just feel like, Siggy, I wanted so much for you. I was really rooting for you. I wanted so much for you. You know, I just don't even know what to say about her at this point.
Well, Siggy was not shy of the shade for the live tweets. And I've been waiting.
She never
I've been waiting to tell everybody this. Siggy said, would Andy want to meet Kathy Griffin's family member? No. So why the hell would I want to meet someone's mom who expressed intent to ambush me? This was a filler scene for deleted sex in the bathroom scene. Mic drop, shade thrown at Danielle, because if you do recall, there was a story released from TMZ that stated at the grand opening that Danielle and Marty were in the restroom having sex, and it was heard, and producers know about it.
No, it was in the trailer.
Was it in the trailer?
It was in the restroom. It was in the mid-season trailer for the second half of the season.
The teasers.
It was actually in it. If you guys go back to that, you will actually hear Margaret saying that she was having sex with Marty in the bathroom. She said that. Yes, studio audience. Yes, you heard it right. Yep. That's crazy. Repeat it again.
And I got some. Well, Margaret didn't respond to my tweet yet because it was obviously late when I tweeted her. But she said, would Andy want to meet Kathy Griffin's family member? No. So why the hell would I want to meet someone's mom who expressed her intent to ambush me? This was a filler scene for deleted sex in the bathroom scene. Hashtag Real Housewives of New Jersey. And Margaret came back with, like I said, this episode was brought to you by the letter B. And it was used twice in... Bye bye. Need I say more? Yes.
Well, there you guys have it. There is Siggy throwing some mad shade to me towards Andy and towards Danielle. She definitely went in. It'll be interesting to see what happens next week. And the reunion will be coming up in, I guess, about 2 weeks. So we have a lot to look forward to.
Yes.
So that's going to conclude our episode for today. This was such an interesting, like, head, like, finish line towards the finale. So I'm really, really excited about what happens next. I am your boy, DJ Richie Sky. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky. And where can they find you?
And I'm Russell Ray. You can find me across the whole internet at Russell Ray Silva. Let me know what you guys want to hear for next week. I'm going to try to get Margaret to call in, and we'll see if she responds, because she got a whole lot of shit she's been taking care of from this episode.
It's getting hot in here. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.